Joining us now, Julie Stewart-Binks, Toronto's own host of Call It a Night with Julie Stewart-Binks and Drinks with Binks on Fubo TV. And, you know, Julie, before we get to, maybe we can talk a little bit of hockey. I got to ask you, I saw you posted about it on Twitter earlier this week. You went in for a sleep study. And, you know, it seems like you have, like, I guess, are prone to talking in your sleep or screaming in your sleep. I do it, too. I've been told it can be quite terrifying. So as somebody who probably needs to go in for something of that sort myself, you know, what would I be getting myself into?
Well, first of all, thanks so much for having me on. And I appreciate you bringing that up because when I posted about doing the sleep study and I put out a photo of all these wires attached to my face and my head, and I was kind of thinking, oh, why are you doing this? Like, this is definitely TMI right now. But then I sort of thought, you know, obviously everyone sleeps and a lot of people have sleep problems. So it's sort of just like pulling back the curtain on real life. And I talk a lot in my sleep. I thrash. I'm just a very avid entertainer when I'm sleeping, really, is what it comes down to. And so I decided to go for the sleep study, and it's impossible to sleep. Anyone listening now who's done this, a lot of people do it for sleep apnea. I did it for whatever I think else I have. And maybe people think it's like parasomnia. If you talk a lot, you walk, all that. And it's, they're measuring your brain waves and all this, but you forget sometimes that you have all the wires on your face, and then I would go to scratch like my nose and like, oh yeah, there's like a tube up my nose right now to see if you're breathing through your nose. So it was a nightmare, I will tell you. I can't imagine I slept more than like 4 hours that night, because you also can't, you're like attached to the bed, you can't really move. Basically in this insane asylum at this point. So it was a great way to it was a great experience, because I hope to never do one of those again.
Yeah, you know what? I can totally empathize with that, Julie, because when I was in university, I actually signed up voluntarily for a sleep study where they put all the electrodes on your face and your chest, your arms and your legs, mm-hmm. and so on. And I thought, as a poor college student, I thought to myself, oh, okay, this would be a good way to make a couple bucks. But I got to say, never again, I think, because like you said, I genuinely can't understand how people actually sleep and thus how they actually get any data from those kinds of things.
Right, and they are watching you. Like, you're on video and audio the whole time. And so you can literally, the woman that was working with me is named Janet, and if anyone's seen The Good Place, it's like you can just ask for Janet, and she comes wherever, sort of like a robot. So I could literally just say, like, hi, Janet, like, how are you? And this woman would just talk to me in my room. So it's really quite odd. But then you wonder, like, so I liken it to, I worked at Hockey Night in Canada when I was younger in the industry, my first job, and I logged games, so I was a shot lister. I liken it to, like, people shot list essentially your sleep. They mark down when you're snoring, when your brain senses there's a fire truck outside, anything like that. That's what they do when you're sleeping. So I was like, well, hopefully I gave you guys some good material. And I did. I was told I did. I remembered some of it because it woke me up. If you do have a sleep problem, you should check it out, because it can lead to a lot of other big issues. So that's why I did it.
Julie Stewart-Binks is with us. Okay, so I know you're from Toronto, you know, born and raised here, and now you're in New York, but you were here for a little while, and I guess I want to ask you, you know, what was the best part, aside from obviously seeing friends and family, you know, the best part about being back home in Toronto, while also keeping in mind that a pandemic is going on?
Yeah, I mean, it was fascinating because I had to, of course, quarantine for 2 weeks. I did that downtown in an Airbnb, and I made sure it had a view of the CN Tower, because I thought, if I'm coming back, and I also recorded my show from this room, I'm like, I want to be able to just feel like I'm in Toronto, because I can't leave. You know, people have to come up, and if I got Uber Eats or something, they leave it at your door and you wait and then you get it. Like, you cannot leave the apartment at all. And so I was like, I want this to feel like Toronto. And then when I got out of quarantine, I think some of the best parts were, I was so fortunate enough to go to the OLG soundstage when the Raptors and the Leafs were in the playoffs, which feels like 10,000 years ago for the Leafs, definitely, for the Raptors, same. And so, you know, you're there with all these people, and it was the game when the Leafs came back and I don't remember what time it was. It was game six or game five or six. I can't remember anymore. And it was just like one of the craziest. First of all, the Leafs like never come back. Like I've never seen that script in my entire life. And it was so special because I was with my family and it was my first night out of quarantine and we were watching it and the whole place goes bananas because you're in your car. So it's like a drive-in. We watched the game by right at Ontario Place, and that was super cool. And then we also did it for the Raptors. So, you know, it's just so neat to kind of just like, I don't live in Canada. I'm, you know, we're not around a lot of people. And to go back to Toronto, see these teams in action, and then like feel the idea of people around you and community, even though you're in your car, it just kind of was a little bit nice and a bit normal. Still weird, but it felt really nice.
Since you were in Toronto, what, were there any episodes of Drinks with Binks that you were producing slash hosting up here? And were there any favorite guests, perhaps, that you had stopped by?
Yeah, I did it completely the entire time. I took 1 week of vacation to go to Muskoka because I thought it's probably going to be risky to try to do this from, like, the lake. But, you know, with the technology and whatnot. But, yeah, I did it. I had Nick Kyprios on, formerly of your network. Dan Patrick from, you know, with Peacock now, of course, the Dan Patrick Show. A couple other reporter, NFL reporters, Diane Orsini from ESPN, James Slater, NFL Network. And I'm trying to remember, I had a lot of different people. Ike Taylor from formerly of the Pittsburgh Steelers. So, yeah, it was great. I mean, it was so neat. I could just broadcast it from my childhood room. And that was sort of a fun backdrop of just like all my old high school ribbons from running or figure skating medals. And then being able to just be home with my family, right? Like it's tough, especially living in a different country during this time. And so many of us haven't seen our family. So silver lining was being able to literally broadcast from my childhood bedroom. So that was pretty good. And also then I didn't have to take the vacation. So that was another plus.
Julie Stewart Banks is with us. Yeah, I'm curious, you know, what's been, I guess, the most difficult thing to adjust to doing a show that you do where you're interviewing people one-on-one, usually in person, staring right at them, and now you're doing it, you know, online, remotely. You know, what's been, I guess, kind of the biggest thing, aside from the distance, that you've had to adjust to in this new reality we all find ourselves in?
Yeah, well, I think like for you guys, you would be accustomed to kind of doing these interviews remotely like this. Like, you know, we can't see each other right now. I don't know what your studio looks like. You don't know where I am. I'm in actually my bathroom right now because I live in a studio apartment and my boyfriend's watching football outside. So I'm in here. that's pulling back the curtain for you. But when you're doing this show, like we're so used to being around people, right? You feed off their energy. And I found it's very difficult to sort of like get up to perform on my show when you don't have the energy of other people around you. And you're kind of just like having to turn it on out of nowhere. And that's been quite difficult. But that, you know, we've been able to still do the show. So I'm so fortunate. A lot of my friends had been furloughed or had to take pay cuts because there was no sports. Well, we didn't need sports to still talk to people in sports or around sports, right? To just still have their stories and their personalities and everything going on. And that was nice. But then I do have two shows, as you mentioned off the top, one of them Call It a Night. We made it, it was been dark since after Super Bowl because we were going to change the set, kind of do everything. And then now we're like, well, we can't really do anything with that. So that sucks that it's been put on hold. And you know what it's like, you feed off the energy of other people. And I think that that's what we sort of forget during this time, that we do, whether you're introvert, extrovert, there is an energy exchange from others. And when you're not around them, it feels, you're almost like there's something missing here. And that's, I'd say, the biggest difficulty with doing the show remotely. But I can't complain. I'm just happy to be able to still do my job. You know, we have all gone through so much that you think, hey, I'm just happy that end of the day, like I can still pay for my rent and still do what I love.
Oh my gosh, yeah, that's been such a key aspect of the three of us doing whatever we've been doing during the last several months. Julie, since we have you here, I got to ask about the Cup Final. And of course, like Josh mentioned, Game 5 goes tonight on Sportsnet and CBC at 8 p.m. Eastern. And I was looking at the Conn Smythe candidates, and I feel like a lot of people have rightly said Victor Hedman has been someone who you might pick to be Conn Smythe, perhaps the overwhelming favorite at this point. But let's just say you want to rank the top three. Who rounds out your top three? For me, I'd probably go Kucherov and maybe Braden Point, but I don't know if you have someone else who might sneak in there.
You know, that's a great question. I would say it would be Hedman for sure, but that I have a bit of a soft spot for Braden Point because obviously he's an incredible player. But I used to work in Regina at CTV Regina, and then I remember going out to Moose Jaw when Braden Point had like his first practice with the Moose Jaw Warriors. And we're like, oh, there's this like, you know, young kid. He's pretty good. We should go get some B-roll of him and go do a story on him. And I remember going to go do a story on this kid. And then it's like, I feel so, so old and also so, so unaccomplished watching him now. I'm like, wow, like that kid, like that, this kid is absolutely lights out. And I think that he could also rival, maybe it depends how things go down tonight or tomorrow or another night if that happens. But I think that you have it there. Victor Hedman, Braden Point, Nikita Kucherov would be my top three. And I do feel as though I mean, I'm a big fan of John Cooper. I'm a fan of this team. I think that they have everything to win. Like, they have literally everything to win. And it's almost, like, frustrating that they haven't won yet. It's like, okay, come on. Like, you've come so close before. Last year was just, like, just so awful, like a nightmare haunting. Even if you're not a fan of Tampa, like, if you're anybody in hockey, that's the worst case scenario for one of the best teams in the league. And so I respect Dallas. I think they have a lot of great talent. I was with the Anaheim Ducks as a sideline reporter when Anton Hudobin was there and Cogliano and Corey Perry. So I know a lot of these guys really well. And they have so, it's amazing how many stars are in this, really. Like, stars as in really great players, because there's, you know, when you look through the lineup of both of them, it's like, wow, this is like an all-star game in a way, which is so fun and exciting to watch every single night. So I believe, though, that Tampa will win it tonight. And that's not even just because of the 3-1 and how 33 of 34 or whatever teams have won this Stanley Cup when they're in that position. I just think Tampa is the better team. And their special teams have been an absolutely insane asylum right now. So I think if the Stars can figure out, they're still pretty upset about that late penalty call. So they got to move on from that. They just like this, if you have any fighting chance, and they could do it, they could, you know, stave off elimination. I think it's made pretty tough, though.
Well, so, you know, it can fester a little bit, you know, that kind of call. And the unique situation is that we've got a back-to-back. And I understand, you know, you don't want to go up against the National Football League. I get that, when viewership in the United States can be tough at the best of times. But I don't know about you. I can't wrap my head around an overtime game last night and now another Stanley Cup final game. I understand you want to wrap this thing up as soon as possible, but why not just rejig the schedule, give the guys a couple of days off, especially with all the injuries, to avoid the back-to-back? It doesn't compute having a back-to-back in any sort of NHL playoff scenario, let alone the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you on that there. And I see where the dilemma is with NBC having Sunday night football. But I would then say, okay, well, let's give them 2 days off. Let's have Monday. And you can argue that you'll be going up against anything. You're going up against Monday night football. Well, tonight you're going up against Lakers Nuggets. Like, you're always going to have something. And so I think that while, sure, Saturday night and the whole hockey night in Canada idea is one thing, why are we racing to get this over with? Like, I do understand the idea of, like, getting out of the bubble, blah, 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 that stuff. But, like, this is a Stanley Cup final. Like, we put in this much effort to pull this off. Like, why are we now trying to just, like, do these back-to-backs? And these guys must be so exhausted physically, mentally, being in that world day after day after day and having to perform. And I know they want it to be over with. And I know we all kind of are like, if this is the one thing, as an aside, what happens after this? Like, what happens with the National Hockey League and the world once this bubble is over? Like, that's almost like, okay, we'll figure that one out once the cup is hoisted and what happens. But, yeah, I would say if you can't do it Monday, do it Tuesday then. Then give the guys, you know, one more day off in that regard. But the back-to-back is unnecessary.
Really good stuff. A lot of fun, you know. I know you're from here, and we always like to have you on when we can to talk about whatever. This was a lot of fun. Let's do it again soon.
Yeah, thanks, guys, for having me on. And enjoy wherever you are working from right now.
Yeah, there you go. We're not in the studio, either of us. I'm at home, and so is Sho. So it's.
I realized that as I said it. I'm like, I don't know what your studio looks like. Then I'm like, they're probably not in the studio. So have fun at home.
Thank you.